Hey guys, this is Greg Denning, and you are in the School of Awesome Sauce, where I share with you amazing stories and strategies to help you live an extraordinary life. Hey my friends, thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the School of Awesome Sauce. Today's gonna seem a little different and kind of off. I'm just gonna share some crazy stories that happened to me in my early teens and things just, when I think back about, like, did that seriously happen? Like, that is crazy. And just some of the stories and adventures that happened to me and I guess, you know, had a formative part in my life. And when I look back on them, think about them, like, yeah, that made a difference. So there I was. We were living in Dallas, Texas at the time. And we went down there and I loved it. Loved Texas. Loved the Texans, and they love Texas. And I really like Texas. My only problem with Texas is there's no mountains. So like, come on, I need some mountains. And we were living in Dallas, and you know, when we were in kind of northern part of Dallas, and it was wonderful. I loved the diversity. People from all over the world. From Laos and India and all over the place. And so I had friends and connected with people from all different backgrounds and races and religions, and I ended up playing on a junior Olympic volleyball team, and we traveled all over Texas playing and got into football. Football is big. Baseball is big in Texas. Sports are just big in Texas. And so we got into it and I loved it and got into sports. And things were tough at home. And so I spent my time away. I spent my time learning boxing and lifting weights. I really got into weightlifting, and I was hitting it hard at 13, 14 years old. I was like, "Hey, I'm going after it. I want to be great at football, and I want to." So I was in the weight room in the morning and in the evening, and then going to some martial arts classes. I was just trying to stay as busy as I could. And one time I was playing football. I was young, and I went out in the first quarter and my hand got smashed in between two helmets, and I broke three or four of my metacarpals, the bones in between your wrists and your knuckle, right? Your hand bones are fractured, all of those. And so I went out of the game. I didn't know they were fractured at the time, but I knew my hand was messed up. It was hurting. And so I went out of the game, and I'm sitting on the sidelines. And the guy that was supposed to play behind me, he wasn't doing a very good job. And so I'm like, well, I want to go back in. And so we put a big padded glove on my hand and like taped it all up. And I went back into the game. And you're like, duh. But this is where I was, man. I was just like, oh, no, I want to get back in. I want to be engaged here. I want to play. And so I went back in the game. And in the fourth quarter, I got leg whipped and broke my leg. And so that night, man, I'm sitting in the emergency room in a wheelchair with my leg up and my hand up, and I walked out with two casts, one on my right hand and one on my, I think it was my right leg. That was a doozy. And it's interesting, I don't know if you guys have ever broken a bone or been in a sling or a cast or something. I started learning about atrophy and itch and irritation and lack of mobility. And you know, it's interesting, I ended up during that time period, I don't know why I did this, you guys, but I became somewhat of an adrenaline junkie, and I was trying all kinds of crazy things, trying to do flips off trampolines and jumping off things, and I ended up breaking quite a few bones. That was not going to be the only time I was in a cast. I ended up dislocating both shoulders many times, and broken hands and broken arms and broken legs. I was in casts quite a bit during that time period. Oh man, my poor mom. She got tired of taking me to the hospital. But it's interesting. I guess you learn a lot of things about being in casts. I just started having this aha of like, man, I have been taking that for granted. The ability just to move my hands and have full access and movement and ability of my hands and feet. And when you get in a cast and you have to stay in a cast for quite a while, boy, you end up, you know, really appreciating when you don't have a cast on. And it's interesting how often, you guys, we take things for granted, right? I remember working with a young man internationally when I was in Peru. He'd had an accident two different times, two different kids. He had had an accident as a kid, and because they didn't have access to good medical facilities, something had happened in his neck, and so his neck had remained stiff, and he literally was unable to move his neck. And so if you ever wanted to turn and look at something, you had to turn his entire body. And I remember meeting with him, and I ended up working with him for a while, and just this reality check, like, wow, I have taken that for granted my entire life, that I can just turn my head. And it filled me with gratitude and compassion for him. Then I worked with another young man who'd had an accident when he was a kid and didn't get his leg corrected. He needed to get his leg corrected, but he never did. There was not medical facilities to do it. And so he had a very, very severe limp the rest of his life. And he could only walk very slowly. And I was walking with him quite often. And we had to walk so slowly. And again, I just a reality check there and filled my heart with gratitude. Like, okay, I'm grateful that I can walk, and I'm grateful for a lot of things I have. And so I guess one of those big lessons right there out of that one is an invitation to all of us, like, to feel gratitude. Are you grateful for the fact that you can actually listen to this, right? It means you have some kind of device and your ears are somewhat working to hear me, and grateful to be able to hear, grateful to be able to see, grateful to be able to smell. I have friends that have, they can't smell things, right? It'd be great. And you're like, sometimes I'm not grateful, I just smelled that. When we lived in India, I'll tell you some stories about that later, but when we lived in India, man, I smelled things. Whoa, they were so bad. Some of the smells in that country are horrendous. And like, it makes a skunk seem like perfume, man. It was bad. I wasn't grateful to smell that. But are you grateful for touch and for tastes? When my grandfather, he got cancer and he went through chemotherapy and radiation, and it burned his taste buds. So food no longer had taste. And I remember thinking, wow, I'm so grateful for taste. And for your fingers and your toes and your body and your joints and your heart and your lungs that you woke up today, right? Just to be grateful to be alive. So I hope that inspires some gratitude in you. All right, another story. So there I was. Like I mentioned, in my high school, there was a ton of diversity. And I loved it. And on the football team and the baseball team and just in my classes, I was friends with people from all races and religions. And, you know, you got in with the guys on the team and had that connection. And it was awesome. You know, I was still quite shy and timid. And pretty reserved, but they would reach out to me because I was pushing hard and playing well, in the sports, and they did that. Actually later on became more timid and more shy. When I left Texas, it was harder for me to reach out, but so I was connected with them, and, you know, after the football games, we'd go out to CC's Pizza, and you guys, there was some, I could tell you stories, but I won't. I'll spare you of stories of things that I heard and things that I saw and experienced that, wow, just so, so heart-wrenching. And there was quite a few gang members on the football team, and the stories they would tell me on Monday about what they had done and seen over the weekend was horrendous. Even like shootings, drive-by shootings and gang fights, they'd come back and tell me about them. I was just blown away, and there was I saw a lot of gang activity around there and tragedies. Well, one night I was at CC's Pizza with the team, and there kind of a little scuffle broke out, and a little argument between these two white guys and a bunch of black guys, and I was like, man, I don't want to be any part of that. Like, I'm not racist in any way, my friends. And I'm like, I don't want any part of that. And I was with this, there was this girl there, Beth, that I knew. And we were kind of standing over the edge. And as it got more and more heated, like, we were just kind of backing away. And then it all moved outside. And it was going to turn into a big brawl. And they kind of divided. And then these two guys, like, I can't, I'm hesitant to even say what they said, but I'll share it with you, but it blew me away that there could be so much prejudice and racism and ignorance and narrow-mindedness. But basically they got in this fight, and then they just screamed out to this whole group of guys. They said, "Go back to Africa, you niggers." And I can't believe I even heard that. I like, makes me cringe to even say that. I'm sorry for using those words, but that's what they said. And I was like, "You idiots." Like, that's a whole nother topic that maybe we'll get into on other ones. The racism that I've seen and witnessed around the world. And you guys, it happens everywhere. You know, in Peru, we were in Peru recently, and there's massive racism between the people living in the city and then the people who speak Quechua, the indigenous people. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You're all Peruvians. Like, what's the deal? And there's segregation everywhere and division. We saw it when we lived in the Dominican Republic with the Haitians. And I mean, it's just all over the place, and it's a terrible thing. But they said that, and man, it was an all out brawl and just like this crazy fight. And Beth and I were just, whoa, we're getting out of here. Like, I don't want to see any part of this. And we were kind of trapped in this tight spot. We couldn't get away. He's out in the parking lot, and it was just all out brawl. I mean, just crazy, crazy fighting everywhere. Then weapons came out, and I heard somebody scream, "He's got a gun." And so we just dive under this car. I'm like 14 years old or 15 years old, and we're laying under this car, and one of them went over and got a gun and just started firing at everybody. And we're laying under the car, just the gunshots going off. And we weren't even like in a bad part of town. And I'm laying under this car with this girl, like, scared for my life, like, holy cow, I'm not a part of this. I love you guys. Like, I don't want to be shot. I don't want to be beat up. I want nothing to do with any of this. And it's crazy. We got out of there fine. The police came, ambulances came, and it was a disaster. And a lot of people that were there that night spent a long time in the hospital. But again, one of those crazy experiences that I look back and like, I can't believe that happened. And, you know, I wasn't out creating trouble. I wasn't even in a bad place. But the effects of racism and how that stirred me up, and the gunfight, you know, and the gun and the weapons and the whole fight, it was crazy and it was impactful. But I think what they said impacted me more. And I hope, my friends, we can all see each other as human beings in this journey together. And yes, we are going to have tons of differences, but it's great. Diversity is wonderful. That's one of the things I loved about being over in Europe, in the big cities over there in Europe. And living in Morocco, there was tons of diversity, of course. And there's been many nations and countries where we've been where I have been the only, either the only American, or sometimes the only Christian, or sometimes the only white guy, right? And I've been there. And for extended periods of time as a family, and we've experienced where I'm the only one that like speaks English, right? And I need to communicate with people, and I'm like trying to use charades, and I'm doing anything I can. And I've been in the diversity, and I love it. And you go to places like London and Paris and Rome, and there's literally people from all over this beautiful world, with different backgrounds and religions and cultures and traditions and races and belief systems and philosophies and ideas and opinions. And I love it. I think that's such a wonderful thing. I really genuinely love it. And I hope you'll do that, my friends. I hope you'll embrace difference and diversity and celebrate it and be like, that's what makes our world unique, is there's so many different ways to do life. And so many things we can learn from doing that. So things got bad at home. So there I was, right? Here goes another story on this element here. Things were getting worse and worse at home. It was more fighting. And I was like, I'm sick of this, man. And had a kind of tough go with one of my stepdads. And I acknowledged that it was partially my fault. we'd had some previous, you know, bad situations. And I, as a young man, I told the new stepdad, like, hey, you ever touch me, man, I'll kill you. Like, I just was not going to tolerate any abusive situations or, you know, any of that junk. And so I'd started off and I admit my own rough edges, but it just wasn't working. And so I ended up getting on a Greyhound bus with my older brother and riding a Greyhound bus from Texas, Dallas, Texas, to upstate New York. And that bus ride is far. Holy cow, it's far, right? All the way across, like, and it went through, you know, like Tennessee and then up through Virginia and Washington and then up through New York City and Albany and all the way up to upstate New York. And wow, man, we went up all the way to Lake Placid. And I remember one night, I can't remember if I told this story already. I tell this story because it just blew me away. We were in this bad part of town with the guy in the pink tuxedo. I may have mentioned this. We stopped and we got out and just the things we saw and experienced in the bad part of town, and just being on that bus and this big old dude in black in a pink tuxedo offered us drugs and alcohol and girls and then boys and like all kinds of crazy stuff. And just, you know, that I had already seen some of it, but it was introducing me more and more to the sad situations and circumstances that many people live in. And it's interesting. Some of us who are more affluent, who have had better lives, we never actually get exposed to those things. We might, you know, see it on a movie or hear about it on the news. But very few of us actually see the reality of what some people have to live in and how they have to experience life. And I hope if it does anything for you, I hope it stirs up empathy and compassion and patience. And I think that was the beginning for me. Like, I have almost unlimited patience for people who are dealt a hard hand and are in a dark place, often not of their choice, right? They're born there and they grow up there and they don't know any different. And I'll have like infinite patience for people who were dealt a hard hand and don't know any better and their behavior and their struggles. And I've worked with people in prisons and in juvenile delinquent centers, and I've heard their stories, and I've, you know, been kind of coaching and helping and teaching them and mentoring them. And then when they tell me the horrendous things they've done, I've been filled with compassion, understanding, and patience of like, okay, I can understand why you did that. You didn't know any better. You were dealt a rough go, man. And I started to see that, you guys, and it started opening my eyes to how much many human beings suffer. And it's hurt. And this was kind of just the beginning, because I ended up living in some rough areas. And I've told you some of those stories already in the series. But I ended up, you know, it kind of went down from there as I was out on my own trying to survive and figure things out at 16 and 17 and 18 years old. And I ended up seeing more and more and more of it, more violence, domestic violence and gang violence and crime and suffering and hearing the stories of rapes and abuses and murders. I'll end up telling some more stories, I'm sure, but it ended up for the next few years just being a pretty regular scene of human suffering. And it's filled my heart with compassion and empathy and this huge desire. And I think, man, that was probably the catalyst right there, is I started seeing that. And then I experienced some of myself, hardship and want and going through some tough things. And man, you guys, my heart is just filled with this drive and this desire to help people, to serve people, to empower them and encourage them and train them and get them out of suffering and hurt. And I hope you'll join me on that. Will you please? Will you join me on a quest to help and serve people? That if you have been given opportunities and privileges and blessings in your life, if you have anything good in your life, then that comes with a privilege, opportunity, and even a responsibility, an obligation to give back and to help others who aren't as fortunate as you. And I'm driven to do that on every level of life, to be a philanthropist and to be engaged with humanitarian work. And just, you guys make a difference in the world. You have way more power than you think you do. But we just have to be intentional about it. And so, like today, literally today, you can interact with people. You can say encouraging words. You can be kind and patient. You can smile and, you know, share something you've learned with someone who might be struggling. You can make a difference. And if we all do that and we bring out this energy, we can really have a positive change with people, and people are suffering. And ironically, this one of my weaknesses here. I'll show you one of my weaknesses. Like, I have very little patience for people who've been given everything and don't do anything with it. Like, it's the opposite has happened to me. Like, I'm infinitely patient with people who struggle and are hurting. And like, I'm like, man, they were given nothing and they don't know any better and they're hurting. But you know better, right? When I meet people like that, I'm like, you've been given everything. You've been taught, you've been told, and you are squandering your life. You've had every opportunity and privilege. You've been given life on a silver or gold platter. What are you doing? And I have very little patience for waste in that way, when you waste opportunities and privileges. And man, I get fired. That's one of my weaknesses, you guys. I get fired up, man, when I meet someone who has had every opportunity to become their best selves and live a great life, and they just throw it away in stupid decisions and poor habits. That's what I'm working on. Like, okay, be patient. Like, oh, like, dude, don't do that, because you often don't have any idea how blessed you are and how rare it is to have so much. In fact, I would dare say that most of you listening to this, because you're listening to this, have had, you know, a pretty good share of opportunities and privileges and affluence. And we often don't realize that, especially if you don't get out and travel a lot. If you're even like in what we would term like middle class America, it's still in the top, you know, few percentages, the percentile of the wealthiest people on earth. There are literally billions of people on this globe who survive on less than $2 a day. And I've been there with them and been in their little huts and houses, from India to Guatemala to Morocco and Africa and Eastern Europe and through Asia, right? And in Nepal. I mean, you guys, we have to count our blessings, remember how blessed we are, and then, you know, whatever blessings we have, whatever good opportunities and good fortune we have, let's use it for good, to do good things. One last story. So I'm telling you, this is crazy, right? Crazy story time. So there I was. We got up to Lake Placid, and I was with my brother, and we didn't have any money. I didn't have a job. I tried to get in school, and I went to the school there, and they're like, sorry, we can't let you in school unless you have a parent. I'm like, hey, I want to go to school. Like, I don't want to be a dropout. I want to go to school. And they're like, sorry, if you don't have your parent, you can't come to school. Plus, in Lake Placid, the high school charges like $235 per class credit. And I was like, I don't have any money. Like, I'm trying to like survive on oatmeal. Like, let me in. And like, sorry, we can't do it. And we were poor, so we ended up renting a room in a trailer, okay? In a mobile home trailer. that's how, like, it was crazy. We rented a room in a mobile home, and we were in this place with this couple, and I have a lot of compassion for them. I did not at the time. Looking back now, they, you know, everyone has their story. Everyone has their journey. And I, you know, now after years and years of working with people from every walk of life, I understand why people do certain things and the decisions they make. But I didn't understand it at this time, and I just had disgust for this couple. They both weighed close to 400 pounds and just were not taking care of themselves and or their place or their trailer or their life. And I was living in that trailer with them, renting a room in this little dinky trailer in Lake Placid, New York. It was unbelievable. And one day I was just sitting there on this little couch in the room, and the man was sitting there as well. And I just kind of noticed he was laying on the couch and he was trying to get up and trying to move and he couldn't even get up. And I just kind of noticed he didn't ask for anything. I didn't say anything. It was awkward. I was pretty timid and shy. I was just kind of just sitting there doing my thing. And he was trying to get up, couldn't get up. And I was like, what is going on? And he ended up, I could just tell from the experience and the smell, he ended up crapping his pants right there on the couch because he could not get up. And he didn't say anything. I'm sure he was so embarrassed and he didn't ask for help or anything. And I ended up just getting up and going away. And I was like, did that just seriously happen? This grown man just, crapped his pants right there because he was so big he couldn't even get up. And at the time, I just remember man, I'm never getting to that condition ever. I'm not going to do this. And I told you guys this. So I warned you at the beginning there'd be some crazy stories, but that was one of them. And, now looking back, I feel compassion and empathy and also hey, come on. You had opportunities. We got to take care of ourselves. I guess that's the big takeaway. That became this big catalyst for me. I was already working out and I got into fitness and stuff almost as a good, healthy outlet, which I'll share later, ended up being a wonderful emotional outlet. In fact, I'll share that in the next episode about how, that outlet for me emotionally was huge to exercise vigorously. It helps. But just a reminder, my friends, that little by little, one travels far. I think that's a quote from Tolkien, but you can travel far in the wrong direction. And bite by bite, it's interesting how many people I was mentoring the other day in coaching saying, hey, look, think about it. How many of you are committing suicide one bite at a time? And we're putting this terrible food in our bodies and we're eating too much and eating junk. And then we don't exercise, we don't take care of our bodies. And little by little, we can get, grossly overweight or obese or just completely out of shape. Or little by little, eating healthy and exercising, we can get into great shape and get back into great shape. And so whatever condition you're in, I guess an invitation here, my friends, let's take care of our bodies. Exercising and eating well is a sign of self-respect, that we like ourselves and we honor ourselves and we're grateful for our bodies. I think every one of us should be in the best shape of our lives. And, and there's this movement, I was listening to this webinar last night, and there's this movement of no food is bad. We shouldn't label any food as bad. It's only bad if you think it's bad. And you don't have to exercise or do anything, or you don't have to eat well. Just accept it all and just love it all. And I get the whole point of not being, bitter or too far on one side, but then we don't want to swing back the other way and not say that anything's bad. There's some food is bad. It really is. And some habits are bad. And there's this movement of don't call anything bad or label anything as bad. And I'm like, well, I don't know. That candy right there or that junk food, there's not any nutritional value in that thing, and it will get in your body and be toxic. And so I don't want to be hardcore about it, but I think every one of us in a healthy way, in a healthy, accepting way, your physical condition does not affect your personal worth. Let me make that really clear. Your physical condition does not affect your personal worth. Okay. Or anyone else. But we should try in a healthy, happy way to be in the best shape of our lives and to get there and be healthy and strong and energized and alive, because it dramatically affects our quality of life. So let's get there. Those are some crazy stories from my youth, my friends, and I can see them now as catalysts and experiences and memories that started shaping my view of life and the world and my own habits and perspectives and actions and decisions. And I hope they've been helpful. I hope there's some lessons you can learn from there, some takeaways today of okay, you know what? boy, there's a lot of different things going on in the world and people living in a lot of different ways and having different experiences. And we can learn from them. We can learn from others' experiences. We can learn from our own, and we can walk away like seriously trying to be our best selves. I'm like, my whole journey, you guys, and I'm making mistakes and I'm falling down and I'm not near as good as I want to be. But my quest is to genuinely become a superb human being. That's what I want. I want to be a great person and a great man. And so I'm going after it. I'm working on it and learning and growing. And thanks for joining me on this journey, this quest for personal greatness. Awesome is always an option. Reach upward. Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you got a lot of value out of it and found some things that you can apply to your life right away. Hey, I'm being totally sincere when I say I live to help you live your extraordinary life. So I hope you'll reach out to me if you have any questions or let me know how I can help you in any important area of your life. And in fact, you know, this podcast is brought to you by the School of Awesome Sauce monthly coaching program. Take advantage of that. Get in there. If it's the best way to get a breakthrough to the next level so you can level up your health, your spirituality, your emotions, your mind, your relationships, your finances, business, every part of your life. Just get in there where you have a coach and a mentor. You have a supportive community to make things happen. So jump in there, take advantage of this, try it out, get in there with us and level up your life. See you on the inside. Reach upward.